Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. I have to get my kids ready for back to school.
Staples has tons of deals, like one subject notebooks for just 25 cents. So they'll be 110% ready.
Wait a minute. That's 10% more ready than 100% ready.
That's right.
Yeah, I was a math major.
I could tell.
Make low prices happen. Make 110% ready happen. Staples. Make more happen. Staples filler paper is just 75 cents all season long.
Limit 30 per customer in store. Limit 10 per customer online with $25 minimum purchase. Notebook price in store only ends 9/12/15.
Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. But, that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we got it, might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest going, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to the podcast too. And you rant about the podcast too. Just a start where Jeremy analyzes the matches and kiss the cream the pretty. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashley, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to the podcast too. And you love the podcast too.
That's right. I hope you guys like this, what we have going on tonight. Final preview show of the season. We've done 11 teams. We're on number 12, talking Wyoming Cowboys. Jeremy Moss here, hanging out with Chris Honduras, who's set up in Southern California finally. And how's your internet treating you there, Chris?
I think my internet's good. Can everybody hear me?
I hear you. Do you hear me? That's the most important thing. Do we need to do our regular sound check?
Do you hear me? It's a quote from Dr. Strangelove, right? That's good, Dimitri. I'm glad you're fine. Yes, I hear you very well, too. So, yeah, old movies.
Perfect.
Yeah, we're back. Perfect. This is our final preview. This is our final individual team preview.
We have football. And for those who are stumbling across, this is the Mountain West Connection, MWCConnection.com, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, Twitter, MWCConnection. Let's see if we can get a few more followers from this. But fall camp's here, and we have I actually saw a scrimmage on Saturday. So I can legitimately say I've seen live football.
That's awesome.
We are, what, 2 weeks, 2+ weeks? We got a couple Thursday night games in 2 weeks. It's great. It's here. Finally.
I don't know what to do with myself. Like, I know what to
get
do with
ready.
Myself. You know, you got to watch insane amounts of football, but that being said, I mean, it's here. It's almost here.
It's exciting. We got one last team preview. We have news. We're not going to go. We'll go over some news next week because there's news like I guess, since I say news, there's a few things. I'll bring this up. I'm jokingly saying, but I'm crossing my fingers that Boise State may be the next team to use the quarterback. Maybe.
You know, I'm not going to say that we're going to use the quarterback system. But what I will say is, you know, Boise State's tendency already to use trick plays and everything like that. So you'll see at least two different players probably throwing a pass within a game. I don't think it'll get up to five, though. We're not New Mexico.
No, not New Mexico, not Fresno State, not other teams. I couldn't think of anybody else used it, but Hawaii. But what we have in Boise State, there's like just a quick thing. There's a four-person quarterback battle. Ryan Finley didn't do too well in that first scrimmage, which that's fine. That happens. It's the first one. We have not a good, not same thing at Fresno State, not a quarterback decided yet. Probably Zach Greenlee. So there's a few places that need a quarterback, but we'll get into all that next week when we do our super big mega prediction show with most of our writers. I'm hoping we can get as many on as possible because we've increased our staff quite a bit in the past 2 months.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully we'll make it sound like a Paul Feinbaum show, right?
Sure. How does that sound? I don't really listen to him. What does he do?
But have you never listened to Paul Feinbaum before?
Honestly, I've probably heard just snippets or clips. I've never listened to maybe more than 10 minutes at one time.
Oh, my goodness. It's a fantastic, especially when you have callers. That's why I'm trying to get so we can have callers, because I want to see if we have anybody crazy calling in, just going, Jeremy, Chris, you guys are all wrong. Y'all wrong about New Mexico. They ain't going to win one game this year. It's going to be, you know, ULV or Hawaii or whatever. So whatever team they are, they're going to go undefeated this whole season long as it's not Boise State, because they suck.
And we we were biased against that too. No, I know what Paul Feinbaum does. He's at the point where he could say, hey, this is the Paul Feinbaum show. Let's talk SEC, flip open the caller line and not speak for the next 4 hours. That's basically what he's able to do. And then chime in every now and then to spark up the crowd. I would love to do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And make probably millions of dollars like he does for ESPN. So, yeah. But today, maybe we'll get to that point. We'll do a few things. But tonight, Wyoming football. Cowboys. We got Craig Bull, so we can bring back. We haven't used many bowling puns so far this offseason, so it's time to bring those back, right?
Yeah. I think after the first year, I think we kind of killed off the bowling puns last year.
Well, they're 4-8. They beat Air Force. They were competitive at times, but not really. They got smacked around against Boise State. However, what we did find out late in the year, which we'll get to everything, we'll just kind of jump around, but I'm excited for that backfield. Brian Hill, Sean Wick. Somebody asked me on Twitter the other day, I forget who it was. He's been retweeting a bunch of our stuff. Digital media intern for like SB Nation. He does stuff for the USD side. He's asking like, who's the best backfield? And I'm like thinking about, and I just kind of go off San Diego State because you got Pumphrey, who's really good. And then the backup, Chase Price, is also, for what he gets, is pretty good. Yeah, for what he does, he's good. I never thought about tonight. I could have gone to Mexico, but that kind of includes the quarterback and their running, so that's not quite the same. But honestly, this is not because we're talking
it's
Wyoming.
It's got to be Wyoming.
I'm saying yes for Brian Hill and Sean Wicketts, legitimately for the two guys who could start, because Brian Hill set a Mountain West record for all purpose yards in his first or second starter. So, I don't know if it's, I know it wasn't his first game, but it may have been his first start where he had, 300, almost 400 all purpose yards.
Yeah, it was some sort of record he set that week. And the reason why he didn't get more attention that week was because not Monty Ball, but the other running back from Wisconsin broke the NCAA record for most yards rushed in that game. So yeah,
and he played like three quarters and did that.
Yeah, and then 2 weeks later, the Oklahoma freshman.
Yeah, so it's that it could be. We're not just saying it's because we're talking the Pokes, but it's nobody has two solid running backs of that caliber who could start and be fine. Boise has some depth, but there's no standout player. Air Force could be, but with the way Nate Romine is, he's more of a throwing guy than a running guy. UNLV, don't trust him. San Jose State, no, not really. Maybe. Depends what you consider Tyler Irving. He's kind of a running back wide receiver. But I think it has to be Wyoming, the most solid backfield. There it is. I've said it. We've said it, right?
Yeah, I'll agree. Yeah, Wyoming probably has the deepest, most trustworthy backfield. I could say that Boise State has the deepest backfield, but Wyoming has the most experienced and definitely the biggest the backfield that can pack the biggest punch when they want to.
Yeah, they have more top-end talent, I would say, at least from what we know from Boise State coming into here, because nobody's really had a chance. Nobody's really stood out because J.H.I. has been there for the past couple of years. So there could be a guy, but preseason, I don't think that I wouldn't put a guy above Sean Hill or I bet either would be the number one running back easily for Boise State or probably any team not named San Diego State.
Right.
So what we have, let's go to quarterback. This is where there's always interest. There's always stuff going on. We've said it all off season. The quarterback situation is up in the air for 80% of the league. However, it looks like Wyoming's going with Indiana transfer Cameron Kaufman to be the starting quarterback.
So I said earlier, remember when we did the early preview show? And I kind of gave a ranking of the quarterbacks. I said the seventh best quarterback in the league is going to be Tom Thornton or whoever starts. Now that you have Cameron Kaufman, who didn't play, but he's a decent quarterback, got 3 stars, and was willing to transfer to Wyoming for his senior year. I think...
Hold on. He transfers from Indiana, so I think that's a wash.
No. So, Indiana has a horrible team, flat out. But Kevin Wilson's team has focused more about on the passing. If you remember, they had last year or the year before, they had an 80-20 win. I mean, they have hit the 80-point mark before. And remember, this is also SEC West champion Indiana. If you remember that correctly.
Who do they beat? I recall that being said. Who do they beat? Is there who they win in their bowl game against? Bowl game. Who do they beat? Who is this team?
No. They were 5-7 last year, but I think it was I pulled up. So I'm sorry. They were 4-8 last year. They beat Missouri. They beat North Texas and they beat Purdue. So SEC East champion. Indiana.
There you go.
Still, this team is ridiculous.
Yeah, we'll see. I know they put up points at Kevin Wilson. What does it matter? Cameron didn't play. He transferred. He's a starter. I'm looking through the Wyoming stuff. He's a starter. It's looking like what they want to be in the backup because, well, he's solidified. You never know with him getting the first time to start Wyoming if something else could happen. There could be who's this guy? My internet froze on me. That's always lovely.
Josh Allen.
That's who it is. Josh Allen. That could be.
I will say, out of all the transfers, Kaufman kind of concerns me the most in terms of transfer of quarterbacks that we've had into this league. You know, we all know what Max Whitta can do. He's going to do whatever he does. We all know what the Fresno State transfer can do. We all know what San Diego State transfer quarterback can do.
Going to be starting for that.
Who could be starting, exactly.
Maxwell Smith.
We weren't exactly sure what Cameron Kaufman was going to be able to do, even though he's highly touted recruit for Indiana standards. I mean, the guy was a 3-star recruit. And so the fact that Wyoming gets a 3-star recruit and he's finally getting his chance to start as a senior, that's fairly significant. Now, here's also something to note about Cameron Kaufman. If you look at that stat line, he is the smallest out of all the quarterbacks.
On the Wyoming roster, you mean?
On the Wyoming roster. Tom Thornton might be shorter, but he's 205 pounds. Cameron Kaufman's the only quarterback under 200 pounds, and he's significantly under. He's 186.
And let's see, they play. What defenses are good they play? Utah State, Boise State. Colorado State has a few good guys out there. That could be some problem if he's a skinny guy playing QB getting hit.
They play at Appalachian State, who has a pretty good defense.
Still, that could be concerning from who if there's attacks against him from blitzes and just getting hit. He plays enough good defense that is a legitimate concern for health wise and staying upright. But then that goes to the hey, who's blocking for him? That's a big issue, but being 180, I don't that these numbers are from a few months ago, so who knows if he added a couple of pounds or something, but he's a senior, so it's not like he's just going to magically gain 15 pounds needed as after going from Indiana to Wyoming, but
sure he can. Well, actually, no, he can't because he's going from Indiana, which is Ranch Central, to Wyoming, which is Meat and Steak Central. So, you know, he might, You get a lot more protein in Wyoming than you do in Indiana.
Go knock over a buffalo and have a buffalo burger, right? Or 10.
Oh, I could use a buffalo burger.
They are tasty. My brother makes quite a few for his business, and I get them whenever I can, and they're always good.
So it's going to be him.
We have a couple Twitter questions tonight, by the way.
We will. We'll get to them. We'll do our standard.
I just didn't realize we actually had Twitter questions tonight.
I sent a few things a while ago. We did running back. It's solid. It's legitimate. I'm just wondering. Okay, let's ask this right now, because Brian Neal actually outrushed Sean Wick despite playing in less games. I get half of it came in one game, but who's going to be the starter for running back? That's the only question we have. Are they going to split carries?
I think it's going to go 1A, 1B with Sean Wick getting the 1A just because he's the senior. And remember, this is a Craig Bowl-based offense. We talked about this last year, but just to refresh you, he didn't win three titles at North Dakota State by throwing the ball. This is a team that his North Dakota State teams were running 300, 400 yards.
If you guys could find it, maybe I'll send it on Twitter or put it somewhere. Ian Boyd did a really good breakdown last year at some point about North Dakota State, the running offense, what they do, how it's similar to – it's kind of like what TCU does a little bit, where they do, it's kind of like the veer option, but it's like the veer dive option, I believe that's the right term for it. So Wyoming will have a fullback on there. I'm probably going to explain it terribly, but that's kind of what I recall, where it's the same setup, the same play, same formation, almost exactly the same, but they do one or two different things. And nobody could stop it. I get it's different from playing FCS to even Mountain West, or FCS to this level. But if we saw last year, there's a reason Brian Hill and was able to get those amount of yards. They run the ball. They do some sort of dive behind the tackle or guard. But they just I gotta look it up. I just thought it off the fly, so I'm probably explaining it, or I know I'm explaining it terribly. But it's basically some sort of dive play behind the guard or set guard or then the tackle. But you have the fullback take one of the spots before and take out a guy, which it just seems like a very simple running play, but it's extremely effective. And they just run and run and run. And then, hey, if they're going to pass every now and then, they'll pass. But you're right. It's just going to be running like crazy. And having two guys, this offense running game should be probably competitive with Air Force in New Mexico in terms of yards and effectiveness, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the next question mark for this Craig Bowl offense is the receiving core. You lost the two seniors, Claiborne and Rufran. But you do get Tanner Gentry back, who was a very significant piece to this receiving core. And between the two receivers, the one tight end, and the two running backs who caught the passes out of the backfield – This is going to be a significant. Remember, Wyoming is a run based offense first. So when they do pass, you're probably going to be looking more at flank passes, nothing really too deep. Because really now, Tanner Gentry is going to be your deep guy.
Yeah, because look what they did last year. It's kind of interesting. I know you have the stats in front of you, but you would never guess that Brian Hill would lead the team in yards per target at 12 yards.
But if you think about it, most of those passes, if I don't know how many games you watched caught last year, I think I caught most, if not all of them, like you did. A lot of those passes were Brian Hill catching the ball out of the backfield, just similar to what Boise State does.
Yeah, screen stuff, short stuff. But, yeah, I'm just saying, like, you'd expect the receiver to be close to that because Gentry was almost 8 yards an attempt. Jacob Hollister tied in almost 9. They just need to find a third receiver because everybody's gone or everybody's new. And so they have weapons, but if you look what they're going to set up, well, here's basically Wyoming's setup, probably two running backs, a tight end, and two wide receivers more often than not. They'll go three wide every now and then, maybe single back, tight end, three wide. So they don't need to go six deep like some of these teams do in wide receiver, but they need to at the very least find a third guy in addition to their tight end as a receiver, and that's what I think they need to find. And it's still early in camp. They had one scrimmage so far. I'm not sure who that might be. They just need to find a third receiver to at least be a threat. He can catch 15 passes or 20 passes all year, but he has to be a threat of some sort so defenses can't focus in on those two receivers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now they got this is a young team as well. We'll move on. We know the running back's great. The receivers, they're
offensive good. Line's going to be a minimal problem.
Yeah. And they have
the reason why I say a minimal problem, you have your – they lose their two top guys who in career starts, but the other three return, including their center, and it's so crucial that you have a returning center.
Oh, definitely. I was at watching my other stuff. I watched BYU. There, every center they had that outside of their starter was okay. They had – yeah, it's their first or second practice – 5 to 7 bad snap exchange at shotgun. You can't have that. That's just disaster. Whether you're punting, and you have a bad snap shotgun, even just normal exchange, you have to have a solid center, because if you don't have that, everything's dead on your team. It's very simple. I'm not breaking any news here, but if you can't get the ball centered to quarterback, you're in trouble.
Wait, what? Are you serious?
I believe so. Is that correct? Am I right on that?
I think so, yeah. Yes. Let's go through this.
Yeah, basic, but yeah, that's their big issue. Like you said, they have two returning starters. Ryan Cummings had 7 starts from last year, but they're thin up front, and they've lost a lot of experience. And we know Craig Bull's bringing guys in. His focus was offensive line and recruiting. But if somebody goes down, that could be – this will be the reason they're either – going to be going to a bowl game, or they'll maybe be 2-10. Is that offensive line? I believe.
Oh yeah, I think so. I think you're absolutely right there.
And here's the thing too. Here's what they have right here for. I'm reading this here really quick. That's last year's schedule. Never mind. We'll move on. I'll come back to this, but it's simple. If the offensive line does well, they'll be pretty well.
So moving on. Let's see here.
Defense.
Yeah. The team that actually did pretty well on defense, if you think about it. So Wyoming went 4-8 last year. Correct. Not great. But, okay, you give up the 48 points to Oregon and 56 points to Michigan State. And then the freak game at Wyoming, if you remember that.
Air Force, you mean, right?
Air Force, yeah.
When they beat the Air Force.
No. Hawaii, at Hawaii.
Oh, there's that too.
They beat Air Force.
That's what I'm saying. I thought you meant that was a freak game where they held Air Force to pretty low running game.
Yeah, they held Air Force to 13 points and pretty low running. They held Utah State to 20 points. Thing is, this was not a good defense overall last year. They gave up points against the teams they were supposed to give up points. They held teams to points. A couple, but then you had, like I said, you go up 38 points to Hawaii at Hawaii. You manage to barely squeak out a win versus Florida Atlantic by only giving up 19 points, but only scoring 20, and then you lose to San Jose State 27-20. This is a team where the defense was about as schizophrenic as the offense was. But you do have Eddie Yarbrough returning.
NFL caliber defensive end Eddie Yarbrough.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, he's their main guy. Over 10 tackles for loss, 4 sacks. He's their guy. He's their main guy. He'll be lining up probably against the offensive line's best. I don't believe he switches back and forth, but he's playing the outside. He's going to be key. They bring back a lot of returning guys, so that's helpful. Despite the defense not being, like you said, schizophrenic, back having great games, having terrible games, being okay, kind of all over the board. They bring back most of their defensive line. They bring back – they lose quite a few linebackers, but their front defensive line, which in this league, when they're playing teams that have good offensive lines like Utah State has, Boise State will have, playing good running game teams that have good running attacks like Air Force, that front line is key, and they have most of those guys back, and that's going to be their strength. And –
well, yeah, their lead sackers return. I mean, not just Yarbrough, but also Siaosi Halaapiapi. And you also have Uso Olive coming up there. Siaosi Halaapiapi.
Excellent.
Yeah. I can practice, see?
Good.
but then But then you have the new guys, and if Bull's probably going to be thinking, as long as you're not playing an up-speed, high-tempo offense, right, you're probably going to be rotating in some of those defensive tackles, defensive ends. So you see the freshmen and the sophomores probably get a couple yards on them. You said something about the linebacking core, how they lose a lot, and that's what is going to hurt. Literally the only person of note returning is Lucas Waka.
Yeah, that's an area where their front is going to be okay. Like, here's where it's going to be okay for them, I think, because Yarbrough will probably take a double team, like either a tight end or a tackle, more often than not, because with him playing on the hand down defensive end, that'll take up two guys. So that will free up to help whoever comes in the linebacker on that same side. That'll give that person opportunities to be able to make plays and get to the backfield or get a screen pass or get something if Yarbrough is being guarded by two guys more often than not. And that's where, you could have an inexperienced guy out there, but if these guys are all scholarship guys, you're playing FBS football here. If you're good enough, you're starting for even any team in the country, you should recognize, all right, if he's getting doubled, that gives me a chance to make a play somewhere else. I'll have the opportunity. They're not going to be focusing on me, so I can get to the backfield. Craig Bull can do some creative things on defense a little bit to overload that side or do something to where let Yarbrough take up two guys, but let somebody else on the other side or a linebacker make a play. And that's where if you have an experienced guy, there's a chance that somebody could step up that you didn't see last year.
Well, and this is Connolly made an interesting mention of this, right? He said he had parts. He called Wyoming's preview "The Youth Takes Over." And so he calls the linebacker in the secondary core "The Youth Takes Over Part 3" because you have two guys returning to the linebacking core. You have three guys returning to the secondary core who played any time last year, not start, but just who played any time. But right behind them, you have four in the linebacking core. You have four guys who have never played last year. And you have another four guys who have never played the position for the secondary. And so it's going to be really interesting to see exactly, as you say, how many of those non-experienced guys are going to be able to get touches, because I imagine it's going to be a lot, and it's going to be more of a studying game rather than just throw them in there.
Well, look at this. You have running back DJ Mays now safety. You have tight end Trent Sewell now a linebacker, a receiver, and tight end moving – or now linebackers. Eric Nizoka are now linebackers. Will Tutin has moved from safety to linebackers. Like you said, they have all these guys who either never played defense before or are moving positions to play defense, and that could be great because you're athletic. DJ May, we saw him. He was actually a pretty good running back. Who knows what he'll play, nickel or dime or do something, get a handful of plays as a junior. Who knows what Trent Sewell will do or any of these other guys making the change, but they're putting their athletes on defense, and maybe one of those guys will step up in a passing situation and just make a play. And that could be a difference in games if they get a pass breakup on third and long where they stick in extra defensive back. So that could be something to look out for where they're just like, TCU's done it, Utah's done it. A lot of teams put their best players on defense if they're not going to be making or seeing time on offense or a skill position.
Very nice, very nice. So who's Wyoming's kicker?
It's a kicker. Does it matter?
Well, it does, yes.
Technically, it does, but
it does.
They can go Lane Kiffin and just go for two every time.
You're replacing Stuart Williams, who was 31 for 31 on punt after attempts, 9 for 9 from field goals within 39 yards, and 3 for 8 on field goals 40 plus yards. But I mean, that being said, those are the more difficult. Who's replacing? College kickers are a thing. They do.
We remember Seamus, don't we? You remember Seamus?
Yeah, exactly.
How did Seamus convert the field goal? Oh, Seamus. I don't know. It's not. We don't need to make that a point of emphasis here, but you are rightly to point that out. That is a pretty big loss for a team that needed to score points and can't.
I was going to say, I shouldn't have to make a point of emphasis, I shouldn't have to make it a point of emphasis, but I do because one of our guys wrote an article a couple days ago saying Wyoming has to turn red zone opportunities into points this year, just like San Jose State. And they can't do it, the field goal kicker better be reliable.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, check that out. It's a different angle people take. They, it's turning easy because they had a good time possession, but they wasted it either punting or kicking field goals. So they need touchdowns and convert on those third down situations. One quick thing I noted, I was going through the recent notes from the Wyoming, was it just trib.com, the Pokes Authority. It looks like we thought Brian Hill might just be being the start or taking first team reps alongside Sean Wick. Looks like Brian Hill is going to be the starter at running back and get most of the reps. And it's kind of scary to see reading through here what Craig Bull says. Like, yeah, last year he was just playing running back, but this year he's actually going to learn the position to play running back. So if he can get that much better, that could be pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a terrifying thought.
That is, and that just makes that Mountain Division.
But the coach basically said, yeah, he did well last year, but guess what? He's actually going to learn the position this year. That frightens me.
Yeah, and then there's I'm reading a few other things. A couple in-state guys are playing well, like Tate and Montgomery. That's always good when we have in-state guys, especially when there's probably one FBS player in the state of Wyoming every year. They're getting a couple of those guys. So, and they're also Harshman moved from backer to tight end, so it could be a threat at some point. But if they're getting guys in-state to stay there, we say it everywhere. If you can win your state, that's good. There's nobody to compete in the state, really, but to have talent and actually do something in Wyoming, they need everything they can get on that. So, all right, let's get to games. Actual games. Wyoming probably will finish in the bottom of Mountain Division, but that doesn't mean they won't be better. It doesn't mean they might possibly make a bowl game so we can make our bowling puns in week 10 and beyond. Because I know we're all looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, some people believe that every team in the West has a possibility to make a bowl game this year. Or, I'm sorry, all the teams in the Mountain, yes. Sorry.
Not just us. There's guys like I've seen Ralph Russo, AP, I think when ESPN did their early bowl predictions, one of the guys, they do two guys. I think it's Mark Slaybach and somebody else. I don't recall right now, but I think one of them had all six in there. And it's possible. And looking at their non-conference schedule, Wyoming could go 4-0 in non-conference play. They start out versus North Dakota. Again, not North Dakota State, North Dakota.
You do not want to be playing Snood.
No, they don't. The Eastern Michigan is one of the worst FBS teams in the country.
They might be worse than Idaho and New Mexico State.
Whoa!
In fact, last season they were worse than Idaho and New Mexico State.
They're terrible. They go to Washington State. That's a winnable game. That's not. I would call that winnable, not for sure. And then at Appalachian State, same thing. Appalachian State's pretty athletic, but they're still pretty new to FBS. So their talent-wise is probably pretty comparable to Wyoming or a step below. Just they don't have all the FBS talent they're able to get despite where they're at. They play in the Sun Belt there. What is this, year two for them in FBS? Is that right, Chris?
This is their second year in FBS, yes.
Second year. So they're still getting guys at the FBS level for talent. So that probably could be a win. I'm not guaranteeing because we saw Florida Atlantic last year and they weren't very good at Wyoming. Squeaked by that one. They needed some help. So
here's my question to you. They're going to be 2-0 going. They should be 2-0 rolling into Pullman on the Palouse, right? If Wyoming beats Washington State, is Mike Leach's job on the line, or does he get canned that day?
Let's look at their schedule. I could give Mike Leach a phone call because I do cell phone number and see how, hey coach, how you feeling? But he probably won't reply. But they play Portland State, they play Rutgers. You think if they're 0-3, they do have, here's the reason why I'm gonna buy into this more than I should. They have an open week after Wyoming. So if they're 0-3, give the new coach next week to prepare.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Washington State, he's has all his guys there, Mike Leach does. However, his part of the reason his offense works so well at Texas Tech, the system works well, but it's because he can get the fifth or sixth tier player in Texas and still do well. There are so many Division I athletes in that state. He'll miss out on who goes to Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Baylor, I guess, Oklahoma State, whoever comes in. He can get the eighth-rated quarterback in the state and do wondrous things. He's in Pullman, Washington, which is, 10 minutes from Idaho. You're not really near California. There's real talent to build off in the state of Washington. And I don't know if he's 0-3. I think there would be a concern at 0-3, but I don't think they'd can him at 0-3.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be interesting to find out, though.
So that being said, does Wyoming pull the upset on the Palouse?
I think they could.
I think they could, too. I think this is a game that will really throw Washington State off guard. They don't have Connor Halliday returning. All right, they have to break in a new quarterback. And really, this is a game where if Bulls offense, remember, Washington State's defense was pretty bad last year, just like California's. And it's because of an air raid offense. Bulls team loves to run. How are they going to stop a run heavy offense if they've been trained to stop the pass?
Yeah, that's excellent there, especially two running backs on there on the team. Two things: if they can run the ball, there's two things you want to do against Washington State when you play them. You want to A, keep the ball out of the quarterback's hand, and B, with them going so fast, because remember the blunder versus Colorado State and the New Mexico Bowl a few years ago, they could have ran the clock down a win, but they decided to run the play. Not that matters for my point I'm making, but that's how fast they go. And if Wyoming's defense can force quick in outs and just wear down the defense, because we've seen that teams, that's the biggest concern when you're going fast pace, is if you go three and out in 80 seconds, your defense has no rest time.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm saying Wyoming pulls the upset on the Palouse.
I'm still 50-50, but I think it's possible.
All right, next game, New Mexico. We're both high on New Mexico. This is Wyoming.
Ooh.
I say they lose to New Mexico.
At home?
At home, yeah.
This will be an underrated game to watch because this will be a fantastic exhibition of running game.
Yeah, and two completely different running styles. You have New Mexico that's going triple option / run option / no huddle / hurry up offense versus Craig Bowles' style of just bulldoze the ball, take your time, and bulldoze the ball more. It's completely unique running styles.
Hey, you know what's crazy? Wyoming could legitimately be 5-0 when they play Air Force.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be 5-0. I think they're going to be 4-1. I don't think they beat Air Force on the road, though.
No, I don't think so either. But I mean, heading into the game, if they're 5-0, would they be ranked in the top 25?
No, they'll be receiving votes, but they're not going to be ranked.
Okay. Because their schedule, I'm just curious. I think I think that's the most likely. They'd probably be like 30th or so, probably getting 30 votes or something. But they're not going to be at Air Force. They go to Boise, you go to Utah State, to San Diego State. The second half schedule is brutal. At Air Force, every tough game is on the road.
Yeah. Next game versus Nevada. Nevada just had two more players dismissed, one who's expected to make somewhat of an impact, one who's looking to make no impact. Yeah, but it just seems that Nevada keeps on taking hits, makes me more confident on them. That could be a game at home. Wyoming wins.
yeah, the way they're set up, especially with Nevada, Don Jackson's a pretty good running back. But it's a game where it's like it's an either way game. Like a lot of these games could go either way, like Nevada, New Mexico, Washington State. Even maybe UNLV can kind of go either way. The problem is
absolutely.
Air Force, Wasted Utah State, San Diego State are probably guaranteed losses.
Yeah, this will be a team that goes. I'll go ahead and call it. Just looking at the rest of the schedule, this team goes 6-6, makes a bowl game, but they go 1-4 in conference play.
You mean division play?
Division play. Sorry,
beating only New Mexico. Or Colorado State.
Maybe they'll go 0-4 in division play and they'll pick up. They'll go 0-5 in division play, but go like, but they'll manage to somehow. This is a team that can. Okay, think about this. I could totally picture this playing. This is a team that conceivably goes 2-6 in conference play, makes a bowl game because they end up going 6-6 throughout the whole season.
So I'm assuming you're saying they beat Nevada and UNLV?
Probably. Well, oh, my gosh. Wyoming is like Wyoming's like the Vanderbilt of the Mountain West. No, that's not fair. Vanderbilt is just sad. They're like the old Mississippi State of the Mountain West. They're like the Tennessee of the Mountain West, right?
Trying to end up finishing
at the lower half of their division or the lower part of their division and still somehow make a bowl game. I'm calling it. I'm going to do it.
No. Wait. I got an idea. Pre RG3 Baylor, who would play nothing out of conference and sneak into a bowl game.
But Baylor really didn't make bowl games before RG3. Like, they made them, but it wasn't, like, consistent every year.
Neither has Wyoming.
I see it. No, I see it. They're the Illinois of the Mountain West.
There we go.
That's it.
Minus the abuse by the coaches, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Or whatever's going on there. Also, one thing to look out for, their bye week is not until November 21st.
No. They're going out on getting a hot start, right? I say they go 4-0 in conference play. That's doable. Let's see it. I'm curious to see it. But they are literally going to go 2-6 in conference play and like edge out of 6-6. They'll be bowl eligible. They might be one of the first teams in the Mountain West to become bowl eligible. But that being said, they're not going. No, they'd have to beat UNLV if that's the case. They'd be like 5-6 rolling at home versus UNLV November 28th.
You're assuming if they lose to New Mexico. Yeah, there's a possibility they could either be 5-0 or 3-2 in that first stretch. I think they're going to fall up short. I think they might be 5-7 because North Dakota, Eastern Michigan should be wins. Appalachian State should be a win. They got to be. Should be. Not for sure, should be. And then I think they'll beat UNLV and probably Nevada. And maybe I think they'll beat win all the home games. That's what it comes down to, win at home.
Yeah, they have
all the teams. All the teams are saying are at home, like Nevada, UNLV, New Mexico. I don't think they'll beat CSU at home for the Bronze Boot or Border War.
Border War.
Yeah, that's what it's called. I think there's a Bronze Boot involved as well.
Nah, there's some hokey trophy involved. That's pretty much awesome.
It's not as good as the Hawaiian Cowboy Trophy.
Yes,
which doesn't happen this year.
So should we get to the Twitter? I'm going 6-6.
I want to say it, but I'm going 5-7.
All right, I'm the optimist. Yes.
Despite me saying they can start 5-0.
Twitter questions. So the first question from at Kyle Atkinson 13. So our only two questions both come from him. The first question is, what do you guys think of Wyoming's 2015 recruiting class?
Well, I did mention the two in-state guys who were playing quite well for them. Could see time. Does Cameron Kaufman count as that class?
No. I mean, it could. Could you do transfers count?
No, I'm just thinking of somebody I actually know by name.
Oh.
They finished,
Here's the thing about Wyoming's class. Here's the thing about Wyoming's recruiting. Remember, Craig Bull's philosophy is, are you going to work hard? Are you going to play hard? And are you willing to come to wherever? That's how he got guys to North Dakota State. That's how he's getting guys to Wyoming. And they might not be the biggest name. They might not be the best name. But he's going to get guys who are going to fit his system and work hard for him. That's why you've seen a relatively lack of dismissals from Wyoming. You haven't really heard much about Wyoming in the offseason. And that's all I have to say about that. You can have a horrible recruiting. You know, what?
Well, I was saying there's also look at him making position changes I mentioned.
Yeah, that exactly. He's gonna fit things to how they want. It doesn't matter what the ranking number is, it's what the players do with them. We're not going to really see what they do until they get on the field. And if Bull's ready to have the youth take over day one, then we're going to see them quickly. And if it works to their advantage, then we're going to see it's a really good class. I hate that's a vague answer, but I this is the best answer I can give right now.
Well, also, this is first full class. The other class before doesn't really count because he took over for Dave Christensen in January whenever he came on board years ago. Look for next year's class to be really his class, and then you'll see players on the field next year from the 2015 class in 2016. So you still give it a little bit of time. Not want to give everybody their 5 years to get, but look for next year to see who they bring in. And we know he's bringing in his guys because when he was in North Dakota State, part of his benefit he had was there's a lot of talent there, and people from the Big Ten country want to go there and stay home. And where would you rather play, North Dakota State or East Michigan? Let's go North Dakota State because he said if you guys the NFL every year at least have chances and win instead of getting your head bashed in 0-12 in a conference that's just okay.
All right. So second question from Mr. Atkinson. Do you see Wyoming being able to compete with the big dogs of the division? And I'm going to go ahead and say no right now.
Rewind about 10 minutes ago when Chris said they might be 0-5 in division play.
Yeah, not this year. Now, 1 or 2 years down the line, when that youth gets older, they become more experienced, definitely. And if we see them make a bowl game this year, like how I'm predicting – then definitely they're gonna be somewhat of a threat. Well, but this year, I don't think so.
The top teams they play are all on the road. Aztecs, Utah State, Boise State, Air Force, the top four teams in the conference are on the road. And the only one I could see maybe is Air Force. But it's they're just if they get home games, I would give them more of a chance. But like if they played Air Force home, I would be more confident in a Wyoming upset win, but on the road, probably not. It's just the way the schedule goes this year. I don't see any of those games being upsets. Air Force, maybe San Diego State, but that's 11 weeks of football. So, no.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have anything else to add to this wondrous last show?
Hey, you're saying it's like our last show for good. It's not our last show for good. It's just our last preview show of the year before the big preview next week.
Woo! Let's talk about that for a minute.
You want to talk about that for a minute?
Well, we got time. We've only been going 45 minutes tonight. 40 minutes. So this is actually a quick show for us.
Fine. Let's do it.
The plan, unless you have something else to add.
No, I don't. This is the part where people start tuning out anyway.
Most likely. No, what we're doing here, next week, we did this last year. We are going to have a show where we bring on as many writers as we have, a couple, like, to go through and say, here's a 2-minute stint of you're going to give me your team's prediction, your team's maybe break player, your conference or division ranking, something like that, and decide, and we're going to give our official staff preview of the season by conference champion.
Dude, what's that beeping and division noise? Champion.
I accidentally hit mute on your button when I was trying to click somewhere else.
Oh, I thought people were trying to call and I was going to get really excited.
No, that's not the case. So I assume our show, we might go a little bit earlier because that show might be over in about 90 minutes because we have about 15 or more writers, maybe 20 plus, I believe. We've had quite a few, but that's kind of the goal. Is there anything else we should ask them besides prize team, bold predictions? Because that's what I want to bring up too. I want to bring up bold predictions, out of the box type of stuff to ask, like, here's what could happen. Yeah, I guess we're going to ask for your standings, division winner, conference champ for the minimum. And
how about MVP?
Your team prediction.
Yeah, your team prediction.
We'll see. Your team prediction. It could be as homeless as you want because I don't care. Well, I'm sorry. Why does it matter?
It's not realistic.
Yeah. Make your rankings realistic. That's what we're going to ask them, but... I'm not being rude, but saying I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter. It's your team. Everybody's 0-0. Wyoming could start 5-0 this year. And I don't think, I honestly, if Wyoming goes 5-12-0 or 0-12, sure, whatever. But I call them 5-0 possibly. So that's where I'm coming from.
I just, yeah. Who their favorite podcast person is? I'm joking. I don't know. No, I'm.
Oh, between you and me?
Yeah. Or some other special guests that we possibly can have.
We're working on one particular guest that would enhance the show tenfold.
Oh, God. I'm just thinking about how epic the show will be if he comes on. Because then that'll change the whole scope of the show. Not even though it'll change the whole scope of the show. It's going to change on how fun the show becomes.
Yeah, I'm working on it. We need to nail down a time. So should we start this maybe 6 Pacific time for you maybe next week?
6 Pacific time. We will try.
We'll let you try. Know. Like this. Usually we go about 7 Pacific, 8 Mountain time-ish. So we'll kind of see those. We will set up a time for all of our writers to hop on. So if you write and listen to us, look for that email probably Monday. And again, we want to make it quick. It's like maybe 3 minutes max. So hopefully that works out for you. So look for that. We're doing our 50 countdown. Chucky Keaton at number 20. I think that was appropriate.
Since use we the damn, love use Chucky the damn sheet, you kids.
What was that?
I said... Use the damn spreadsheet, you kids, when you're signing up.
Okay, yeah, use the spreadsheet. Or super secret team messaging system I set up. I think it's going well.
Yeah. Hey, it's going very well. I single-handedly have created many conversations and much community amongst our writing community.
I appreciate that. That's
you're
good.
Like, I am setting this up, but I have no clue how it works.
You showed me in March for a second.
Yeah.
I know. That's our show for tonight. So look for it. We're doing our countdown. We're going to have some big picture preview stuff. Next week, besides doing kind of having all the writers on, we'll kind of recap the fall. The fall camp so far, summer. Because if you recall, our Air Force show is back in May, I believe, right? Things have changed since then. Things have changed since we talked about Air Force, Boise State, Colorado State, 2+ months ago.
Things definitely have changed.
Because I'm thinking that's what the show should be about. And
you and me should bring out our wacky bold predictions. Like, Utah State will finally beat Boise State, right? Hey, I said wacky and bold. Like hey, I prefaced with wacky and bold, so you cannot snicker at that. All right, I think that's when Chris starts doing. I think we're done for now because that's we're good.
Go put on
Go
put on your golden blue BYU shirt.
Hey, I don't own any BYU paraphernalia. Never have and never will. Hey, I am currently wearing a University of Utah Fiesta Bowl from 2005.
The fact that you still have that, although I still have my 2006 Boise State Fiesta Bowl jersey, so. You know. Last minute, because too, so. I did post and change our cover photo for our Twitter and our Facebook page. Yes, that was me. Yeah. You want to send me hats? Obviously, you see I'm missing six teams. I don't know when the next time I'm going to go hat shopping yet. But, you know. Certain teams I really don't want, but I will make an exception for certain kinds of hats. You know, like if you find a Battleborn hat, that would be cool.
So it doesn't say Nevada, but it's the Battleborn.
yeah. It can have the Nevada logo on there or whatever.
We're good. All right, that's what we got for. I think that's all we got for tonight. Send Chris some hats so your team's representative. Even though we say we hate every team, I love. Last quick two things. We posted something on Boise State because we have a new recruiting guy who interviewed Nick Tree, I believe his name is, or is on Twitter Nick Tree for tight end for Boise State. First thing on Facebook, and this guy was legit. And we get this every now and then. This is just you just cover Boise State, nothing else. Then reply, I'm like, dude. This recruit happened to commit the other day. We happened to have a guy to cover recruiting, and he happened to get a little luck and hard work to get a guy for an interview. But what I love next is we put up something about Colorado State, and a different guy put the same comments, but he jokingly puts on there, you guys just cover Colorado State and nothing else. You guys are terrible. So we appreciate the comments, but come on, people. Get a break. Get a life. Oh, well, I shouldn't like that, but – take it easy, right? That's easier. Relax a little bit. Here's what you and me will agree on. If your team's not represented enough, reach out to us and you can write for us.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fair.
We've had quite a few guys. This might be the first year, I'm not kidding. Every single team is covered by at least one person.
Is this really the first year? I'm trying to think. I've been writing. Let's see. The site started 2007.
Here's the thing. We have San Jose State in the conference.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, we have every single team covered this year by Ryder. I am so excited.
By at least one person. We have multiple for Boise. We haven't even UNLV and San Jose State have been dragging their feet for participants for football, but we're good. Wyoming, we're good. Dwayne does great stuff for Air Force. We have San Diego State, whether it's Irwin now. We have Raphael. We have Matt Bain. Hopefully he's coming back. We have Matt Hoffman. We've had quite a few guys. We got Ron and Ryan, New Mexico. We have two New Mexico football writers. That tells you something, right?
That New Mexico is getting a lot of attention.
Perfect, exactly. So, thanks for all those guys here. So, look out for next week for a big show. Football's here. Oh, man. So close. So close.
I'm trying to contain my excitement.
I know, yeah. So, check us out. MWCConnection.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, 5 stars. But leave whatever comment you want, as I always say. It could be terrible. But leave a comment for us, but 5 stars. So, check us out. Football's coming up. More previews. Everything you want to know. Reach out to us on Twitter. MWC Connection. We'll comment, reply, favorite, whatever. But we got our big preview next week. And our team previews are done. And football is here. See you guys next week.